I'd like to call us back into order. We are on general order date three, where amendments may be voted on in the order received. ONCA 2592. There's an amendment to page three, line 109, after code insert of the United States of America. And on page 12, line 511, strike state and insert nation. Is there any discussion? All those in favor of the amendment, please say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, please say no. The amendment passes. ONCA 25-2 will be advanced to third reading after engrossment on Monday's agenda. Following engrossment. We are now on bills and resolutions on third reading. ONCA 25-115, an act to amend 21 ONC, section 1-303, rule 1 of the Membership Act, and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Congressman Potts. Sponsor, how do you wish to proceed?
I'll close.
Would anyone else like to speak for or against ONCA 25-115? Hearing none, sponsor, you have the floor.
Waive my time.
The question is, shall ONCA 25-115 pass? Roll call, please.
Congresswoman Rivard?
No.
Congressman Tillman?
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Yes.
Congressman Big Horse?
No.
Congresswoman Goodfox?
Yes.
Congressman Hamilton? Congressman Keene?
Yes.
Congresswoman Lemon?
No.
Congressman Maker?
Yes.
Congressman Potts?
Yes.
Second Speaker Redcorn?
Yes.
Speaker Shaw?
Yes. The vote count is 8-3. ONCA 25-115 passes and will be advanced to enrollment. There is an alternate effective date. All those in favor of the alternate effective date, please say yes.
Yes. Yes.
Any opposed, please say no. Alternate effective date passes as well. We are now on motions and notices. Interview and consideration of confirmation of executive appointee Scotty Ray Lawrence to the Osage Nation Gaming Enterprise Board for a term of 3 years. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
It seems like we had conversation yesterday that Scotty Ray Lawrence could not be here today but can join Monday. Is that correct? Okay. So I'd like to move to hold this interview and place it on Monday's agenda.
Second. Motion in a second. All those in favor, please say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, please say no. Motion passes. We're now on interview and consideration of confirmation of an executive appointee, Robert Daniel Carter, to the Osage Nation Gaming Enterprise Board for a term of 3 years. It does look like Mr. Carter is online with us. Mr. Carter, welcome.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Would you like to first just give us a brief, just tell us about yourself and what your interest is in serving on this board, and then we'll open the floor up to questions.
Of course. So I'm Daniel Carter, born and raised in Pawhuska, Oklahoma. I have practiced in federal Indian law for 14 years, where I represent tribes and tribal entities in transactions, litigation, general guidance. I currently work in Tulsa for a firm called Foster Garvey. Foster Garvey is based in Seattle. I joined a couple years ago to open the Tulsa office of the firm, where I continue representing tribes in various capacities. I'm a member of the Muscogee Nation. Still stay involved in the Pawhuska community to the best extent I can. I still have family that live there. But it's just such an honor to be nominated for this position and an honor to be able to be here before the Congress today. Happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Congressman Keene.
Yeah, I've known Daniel for probably over 30 years. When we were young, he had the best video games, so we'd always go over to his house. But he went to law school around the same time as my brother. He's actually someone I've always kind of looked up to. So I'm glad he's considered for the board. I think he'll do a great job, and I have a question for him. So Daniel, I'm assuming sports betting will eventually come to Oklahoma and become legal. How do you see us navigating that complex landscape with the legal part and as far as amending our gaming compact? I'm assuming our next governor is not going to be anti-Indian like Stitt. We're praying for that. Just how do you kind of forecast the future with that, if you could? Thank you.
Yeah, I think we have to wait till Governor Stitt gets out of office. What he's been proposing for sports betting has been a revenue share that is far beyond what IGRA allows. IGRA allows exclusivity fees, not taxes or revenue share. And so the tribes and the governor's office are way too far apart to see anything that would get passed as long as he's in office. There's some hope that the current legislature could override a veto if he chooses to veto it, but it doesn't seem like there's enough momentum for that at this time. So we're looking forward to the next governor, as Congressman Keene mentioned. I think for Osage Enterprise Board, the Osage casinos, you have to look at protecting your current investments to make sure that your brick and mortar facilities, your six casinos that you funded, that continue to fund the tribe, are not put in peril by any sports betting legislation or structure. I think if there hasn't been an analysis performed yet on what structure looks best for Osage Nation casinos, whether that be brick and mortar, where you have to place your bets by paper, whether you can place bets by phone. There's discussion about being able to place phone bets anywhere within a reservation or historical reservation of tribes. You know, that could potentially be good or bad for Osage. I think there needs to be an analysis to determine what works best for the current investments, what works best for the nation in the future, and then go from there.
Thank you, sir.
Members, any other questions? Congresswoman Lemon.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Morning. Doing well.
So, kind of not necessarily aligned with the gaming question at this point in time. What is your most recent book that you read for a hobby, not for work, not for self-help, but as a hobby?
Yeah, I'm currently reading a book that's The Seven Circles of Fate, which talks about Native American culture and faith and healthy living. And it was just a book that my father-in-law was reading when he passed away last month, and it was on his desk. And so I asked if I could take it and read it just for some spiritual guidance and healing. And it's been a very, very good book.
Thank you for that. Is there anything that sticks out specifically that has possibly changed a perspective for you in your reading?
Yeah, I think, you know, in my profession, in my job, it's very busy with coming into the office and meeting deadlines, driving all over the place. I think the message that I'm getting is sometimes just appreciate the moments and the people around you and things around you. And you know, pay attention to signs that are coming your way. And just try to be more in touch with the things that the Creator has provided to us on this earth, more so than what we've created as people, as habitants of this earth.
Along those, may I continue? Thank you.
Yes, please.
Sir, along those lines, with the political rhetoric that we have at our national level and sometimes at our tribal level, what do you feel would be beneficial for all of us to improve upon?
Yeah, that's a big question. I don't want to take up all your time with my ideas of how to improve the world, but from my personal observations, online discussion is very toxic, and it creates, you know, very partisan political discussions that feeds a lot of rhetoric and fear. But if you meet people in person, you go out the street or you talk to your neighbor, you know, there's a lot more professionalism, it seems, among people. And I think that a lot of that is deliberate with creating a divide in our country, our world, online. We know that other countries, you know, purposefully do that to harm our country. I think it works. I think what we need to do is spend less time on our phones and more time in our community.
Please continue, Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you so much. Thank you for that answer. It was a big overarching, and so I appreciate it, because that's a hard one, because, you know, we can't all fix the world separately. It takes all of us together. So along that line and the divisions that we have, that happens with us here at times with our casino operations and us trying to fund, trying to work together to fund our government operations. And we have a different situation here, which I'm sure you're well aware of, that the casino tells us basically how much money they're going to allow us to have of the funds that they have projected and then that they have realized. And then there's other, and which you well know, there's other casinos out there and other tribal nations out there that do business differently than we do in the legislative process. And you mentioned the word, you know, this kind of like the fear that sometimes that we have, and there's groups of people within our tribal nations and just in general that we have this, you know, generational trauma of fear, which is rightly so. But right now in this climate where we're at, between trying to fund our government every year that I've sat in this seat, is we've always needed more, and it seems like there's a tug and pull between the gaming operation and our government operations. And some people say we do it backwards, and some people are fearful to change that way. And I just want to see what your thoughts are, knowing that other casinos take 100% of the funds that the casino makes, and then their tribal councils or whatever they want to, however they call them, distribute the money to the rest of the government, where we don't do it that way. And my main question is would you have fear if we changed that legislation and swept all the money 100% back to the nation, which this body here has the ability to do, of course, but also the purse strings really are not at this body, even though it's supposed to be? That is some people's belief, other people's is not, and that's where we get the political strife. So, do you have fear if all of the money was to come back to this government and be redistributed, including to the casinos?
I think transparency and accountability is what's most important between the enterprise board, the Congress, the executive branch. And I've seen it work both ways, where All the money goes to the council, and then the council allocates money to the enterprise board. I've seen it where the enterprise board has its budget, and then you have your net distributable funds, and then that goes to the nation for distribution to its programs. It works either way, as long as there's trust, accountability, and transparency. And hopefully, you know, with this enterprise board, if I'm able to serve on the enterprise board, we'll have that trust and transparency and accountability. If you don't have that, neither system works.
I appreciate your comments, and I look forward to you serving there, sir. I will be voting for you, and I will hang my hat on the trust, transparency, and the working together, because that is where we strive. Thank you.
Thank you for the questions.
Congressman Keene.
Make a motion to confirm Robert Daniel Carter to the Osage Nation Gaming Enterprise Board for a term of 3 years.
Second.
There's a motion and a second discussion. All those in favor of the motion, roll call vote, please.
Congressman Tillman?
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Yes.
Congressman Bickhorst?
Yes.
Congresswoman Goodfox?
Yes.
Congressman Keene?
Yes.
Congresswoman Lemon?
Yes.
Congressman Maker?
Yes.
Congressman Potts?
Yes.
Second Speaker Redcorn?
Yes.
Congresswoman Rivard?
Yes.
Speaker Shaw?
Yes. Mr. Carter has been confirmed to the Osage Nation Gaming Enterprise Board for a term of 3 years. Congratulations, sir, and welcome.
Yes, thank you for your votes and vote of confidence in this role. And I look forward to doing great things with the Enterprise Board for the nation.
But yes, sir. We're now on interview and consideration and confirmation of executive appointee Luanna Redcorn to the Osage Nation Gaming Commission for a term of 3 years. I understand that she is in the process of getting onto the Zoom, so we will take a brief recess to the call of the speaker to allow her time to get onto the Zoom. We're now in recess. Thank you.